Yeah, there's a well-known principle in the Bible. It's a principle that speaks to the essence of Christianity, and even our eternal life hinges upon this basic principle. If you will, let's turn to Luke 16, starting with verse 10. Luke 16 and verse 10 for this principle. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. And the reason this is such an important principle in the Bible, which I'm pointing to, we can read in verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, brethren, we are judged on the small things in life. You know, living this way that God has set forth for humanity really isn't difficult. You know, we must be, the difficulty is submitting to Him, our own carnal nature, giving over to Him fully, to serve Him only. That is the difficulty. The requirements and what it takes really isn't that difficult. What He expects of us then is to be completely and utterly within the mindset of serving Him. And that is within everybody here, everybody who has been given God's Spirit, that is within all of our grasps to achieve. You know, we spend our lives doing countless small things, little things that might not add up to a lot, maybe in our minds of how we are coming along in our own particular spiritual paths. But God has made, because you know, He has made the requirements and what is necessary for obtaining salvation cheap and easy. It doesn't take a lot of grand things. He is judging us on the very minimal things, the minutiae of our lives, of what we do in our daily lives. You know, He hasn't required of us to part a sea, to rule over a nation, or even to perform miracles. But He still has given us that same Spirit that He did to our ancestors in ancient times that did perform those mighty miracles. You know, in order to prove to this world that we are willing to serve Him and not the world. And those things aren't required for us to obtain that same spiritual reward. It's what we do every day, the small things that God is looking at and saying, if you're good in these small things, you will be good in the greater. And that's what we have to keep in mind as we go through, as we wake up every morning and face a new day. You know, the small choices we make are either filling up or they are emptying out these vessels that contain God's Spirit. So why do these small things matter so much? These choices we make every day, why do they matter so much to God? You know, it's so easy to either please or offend Him in some of these things that we can be doing, even though they seem small. Well, James very succinctly answered this question. James 3, starting in verse 4. James 3, starting in verse 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. And in verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. If it is an unruly evil full of deadly, or it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It's that ship driven by the small, just a small rudder, this tongue that can lead us into these small things, our daily lives of bringing us down, of us not fulfilling God's will by just a small word, just a small thought that sends us off into the wrong direction. You know, it's not the strength of what we do to build up our bodies, to get big muscles, that necessarily offends, as James was saying. It's the strength of that small muscle, that tongue, that can greatly offend God and our fellow brethren. You know, Christ warned this kind of offense and the severity of it, including what were not just the consequences for those who had unbridled tongues. In Luke 17, we see the strong condemnation that Christ gave to those who do not bridle their tongues. Luke 17 and verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him to whom they do come. Woe to those people who are causing these offenses. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and that he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." You know, causing somebody to trip, causing somebody to sin, is monumentally destructive in the mind of God, to the point that Christ said we should not even have been born. It would have been better if we weren't born because of the condemnation upon us if we cause others to stumble. We know it's easy to point to other people. Well, somebody else has always done that. It's not something I do. Well, throughout the Bible, we can see that even the greatest of God's servants have stumbled in this way. Acts 22. See, one of the greater people who stumbled in this way, Paul, Acts 22 and verse 4. This is Paul speaking. "I persecuted this way, all of us, the people that were following after Christ, to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bear me witness, and all the council of the elders, whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were to Jerusalem to be punished." You know, Paul went on after listing previously in verse 22 all of his qualifications of where he got his training, and said that it was he, one of the greatest persecutors of this church, that brought people to death, brought people before chains for this condemnation. At this point, he had no idea who he was truly offending with what he was doing. And that's the key here. You know, Christ, when he confronted Paul or Saul on the road, said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Not, "Why are you persecuting these other people?" "Why are you persecuting me by doing all these things to my brethren?" You know, Saul's self-righteousness in this respect blinded him. Only by God opening his eyes on that road was he able to see who it was that he was truly offending by these, well, for those people that were being persecuted, it wasn't a small thing, but for those things that Paul was doing, they were offending God. You know, just because God uses mighty people like this doesn't mean that their small, easy choices are overlooked either when they commit them. Numbers 20, it's the example of Moses doing just this. Doing something which seems so small and yet really had a big consequence for Moses. Moses 20 and starting in verse 10. "And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, 'Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water to you out of this rock?' Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them.'" You know, Moses, as we know, part of the Red Sea, he proclaimed before Egypt all of these great plagues. He saw God and lived. He talked with God. And after 40 years of leading these people through the wilderness, this one small action caused him to lose out on his ability to to finish that path to bring them into the promised land. That might not seem that bad. I mean, he didn't have lose his life because of that. We know what his reward is in the kingdom, so maybe this punishment wasn't that bad. But looking at it in his perspective, he spent 40 years with these people grumbling and complaining this whole time, leading them. And of all this time, this one offense that he did, this one small thing, caused him to lose his ability to go into the promised land. You know, brethren, we can spend our days here. Now I speak of our daily battles as Christians, our days when we come before God as He is required to congregate. We can spend our days either building up or breaking down those we come into contact with. And all of those interactions, especially with our brethren, are important in God's eyes. You know, Christ said, as we read, it was better that we would not have been born if we make those brethren, those weak brethren, those new brethren, or anybody stumble. In fact, anybody that we do anything to with our tongue, if we make them to stumble, it's better that we weren't born. Small things do matter because it points to the master that we are truly serving. And brethren, we are commanded to assemble, as I said, not to break down, but to build up. In each of us, and that is the purpose. We are to build up within each of us. It's an opportunity to grow and to qualify for the kingdom of God. So as we enter into this festival season, as we enter into this time when we have this opportunity, let's have that as the forethought of our thoughts as we enter into this festival season, to build up through small things all of our brethren.